Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way
to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven?
Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right. Once again, on a Wednesday, we discuss issues that we all have in our lives with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, a faith-based group that provides life coaches, therapists, registered therapist interns. Gidi is one of those. She's in the process of becoming a licensed therapist. That'll happen in the next few months. She joins us on the show today to continue our discussion on when you should go see a therapist, when you know there are enough warning signs, red flags, that you should probably go get some help. Gidi, thanks again for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure, Jerry.
We I don't know if we want to run through them real quick and then continue. We had significant distress in your life. Your efforts to solve the problems have failed. Loved ones are getting tired of listening to you. Say, go get some help. You're misusing substances, people, activities. Loved ones notice that you're having some issues. Unusual levels of emotion, high or low, or no emotion at all, neglecting your responsibilities, grieving a significant loss, no fault of your own, a significant loss has happened. Everyday life seems overwhelming, nothing specific, but just you're just not really, you don't have any, you don't feel real desire to do anything. Maybe a traumatic event disrupted your life, a car accident, maybe a house fire that destroyed your home and your belongings. A lack of joy in your life. And we left off last week with being crippled by stress.
Yes.
And that's an interesting term, stress and crippled in one word and in one sentence. That's crippled by distress.
Yes.
Tell me, by stress.
It's our whole culture is. I mean, we live in the information culture, and we're living at a pace, an accelerated pace of life that I don't think we were created for.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us, including Christians, are not taking a day of rest. You know, I'm not talking about setting aside Saturday necessarily, which is the seventh day or the Sabbath day, or Sunday, which Christians traditionally have used as the Sabbath.
Yes.
But we're not taking time off anytime.
That's a great point. You know, my wife and I are planning a vacation, and we're going to go during Easter week when the kids are off school. And this is the one time I think I'm right, because my wife is always right on these things. But we're saying, okay, we're going to go to an A's game in Oakland. And Jeremy is a big baseball fan. Then it happens to be when our anniversary is. We're going to go down to Cambria, where Hearst Castle. And I said, well, let's just go there for like 3 days. And my wife said, well, what are we going to do? We got to plan something. So I said, no. Let's just go to Hearst Castle. Let's just hang out at the beach. Let's not do anything. Let's just do nothing, okay? It reminds me of the Seinfeld episode. Well, everybody's doing something. Let's do nothing. Okay. Let's do nothing.
Yeah.
And so, and I think I've got her talked into that for maybe 2 or 3 days, we just sit by the pool, we walk the beach, we go antiquing, and we just do nothing. And I think that's kind of what you're saying is leave the gadgets in the car.
Yes.
It also reminds me of the Abbey of New Clairvaux. They have retreats there.
Yes.
There's no TVs.
Yes.
People leave their gadgets in the trunk. There's no radio. The rooms are simple. People go there, they relax, and they do nothing.
Yes, and we can have retreats on our own, you know, or go to a retreat center. We need to factor in rest and relaxation to de-stress ourselves. However, when you reach a point where the stress has become so overwhelming that a single stressor, like burnt toast in the morning.
Right.
Or somebody cuts you off in traffic. When things like that become overwhelming, that's when we know I need to change. Something's going on here that is not normal.
You made a good point last week, and I think you made it today just a few seconds ago, was that the Lord, when he made the earth, he said 1/7 of your days, once every 7 days, I want you to do nothing. It's almost a command.
It's
a commandment.
It is.
You must do nothing.
It's
you
one
must
of the
rest.
Ten. It's the fourth commandment.
Right. And so we don't do that. And there's a reason that we should do it, and you make the point.
Well, you know, in terms of Christianity and Judaism, the reason we do it is because we're showing God that we trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to be workaholics because he sustains us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he supports us. But many of us find our identity in work rather than in God or, you know, in our relationships. We find our identity in work, and the idea of not working means that I don't exist.
I have no identity. Yeah, men especially, don't they?
And women are catching right up
yeah,
with
they
them.
Are. Yeah, they yeah. are. Well, what do you do for a living? Oh, that defines who you are.
Exactly.
That has been an age-old problem since the beginning of time, I think.
Yes. Yeah. And then we push our kids. We overschedule them.
Yes.
With school, with homework, with practice, with plays, with musical instruments, with...
And what they need to do is go out and play with the neighbor kids outside.
Yeah, just
go ride
do
the bikes.
Nothing, rest.
Yeah, rest or play or do something yeah. that would be gives you pleasure.
Yeah, and not the video games and the TV either.
Right, right.
Because that's become like a termite, just eating up life.
Yes, I agree with you, that is one area where I have failed in a lot of respects as a parent because my kids love doing that stuff and. And so, yeah, I need to get them. It's difficult because when you're a kid, you have a lot of energy.
Yes.
I almost put kids in a different category than adults. It's hard for them to say, okay, kids, sit there and do nothing. And, you know, because kids.
Let them decide what they want to do.
Yeah, if they want to go
schedule every moment
exactly.
of their lives so they have no discretionary time and
yeah.
they're exhausted all the time.
Right. That's good. We should remember the kids in this,
yeah.
too.
So okay. we are creating this stress.
Number
and we need to de-stress ourselves. But sometimes we reach a point where we don't know how anymore.
Right.
And then it's time to see a therapist.
Okay.
The next one, number 13, is you feel consumed by fear.
Feel consumed by
fear.
That's
phobias. Yeah.
We're going to talk about that when we come back. The 21 warning signs that you might need to go see a therapist. We're talking to Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place, 588-0448. If you want to schedule an appointment with her, one of the other life coaches or therapists. We're going to continue our discussion. When you start feeling consumed by fear, what does that exactly mean? We'll continue our chat with Gidi after this.
This is Live Local Talk.
Okay, you know when you need to see a doctor because physically you just can't go on any longer, but it's difficult when you're talking about mental or emotional issues when you need to see a doctor, and it requires a little bit of self-diagnosis. And I guess even in physical matters, it requires a self-diagnosis to a degree when you finally say, I've got to go to a doctor. So there's a certain degree of having to analyze yourself before you have somebody else analyze you. And that's what we're discussing with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. If you want to make an appointment with her or one of her other therapists that they have there, life coaches, 588-0448. We left off with we have a long list, 21 different signs, warning signs, when you should maybe consider seeing a therapist. And we left off, Gidi, with you feel
consumed by fear.
By fear. What does that mean?
Well, this can be specific fears like fear of cats. I mean, we're talking like if you see a cat, you start screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of dogs. My dad had a terrible fear of dogs. He would panic. Even if a little tiny toy poodle was yapping behind a window, it would cause him significant fear, like fear of spiders, fear of snakes.
Well, I have a fear of snakes. Now, does that mean, I mean, I have
is
a real
Is it disrupting
fear.
Your life?
No.
Can you leave the house?
Yes.
Do you dream of snakes attacking you at night?
No.
When you get up in the middle of the night and it's dark in the room, do you think if I put my foot down on the floor, there's going to be a snake under my foot?
No, but I will say that I'm okay. But I'm that's the only thing I have in common with Indiana Jones is that I fear snakes.
Okay.
But yeah, that's
so. This is the consumed part.
The consumed part.
Well, I'm not saying people have to be fearless.
Well, it gets on paranoia. I saw a snake outside in the woods one time. So now every time I'm in the house, I'm looking around the corner. Is there a snake there? Is there a snake there? That's when it gets to be kind of crazy.
Exactly right. Right. Okay. And then the other word you mentioned, paranoia.
Uh-huh.
When we think people are watching us, People are following and stalking us. People are after us. The FBI has tapped my phone.
Mm-hmm.
The CIA is looking into my international travels.
Mm-hmm.
That guy on the street looked at me funny. Is he one of the stalkers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 5 license plates went by, all with the number 7. That means the government is watching. I see contrails in the sky. That means we're being sprayed with experimental mm-hmm. drugs by the government. There can be all kinds of paranoias that that consume us constantly.
True. But some of that could just be misinformation. People read something that they think is true and it turns out to be kind of off kilter.
The key word is consumed.
Okay.
We can all entertain all kinds of conspiracy theories and thoughts, uh-huh. but we're not consumed by it.
Right.
We think through it. We reason through it. We come to a decision and we go on with life.
My boss is out to get me. He doesn't want me to work for him anymore. That's one thing to just think, gosh, maybe I'm doing something wrong. I should talk to my boss. Another thing is to have yourself convinced and consumed that
everybody's
out to get me.
Everybody's out to get me. I can't trust anybody. They're going to kill me. They're poisoning my food.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of fear, or agoraphobia, where I can't leave the house.
Uh-huh.
I just don't feel safe.
Consumed by fear.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Okay.
So that, and you'd be surprised how many people suffer with this.
Mm-hmm.
And they put on a good act, but they're inside, everything is falling apart.
Really? Okay. Interesting.
So number 14 is the main reason that I see people, okay. which is relationships in your marriage and or family have become unmanageable. So we know there are always difficulties in relationships. So we're not saying that you have to have a relationship that has no difficulties in mm-hmm. order not to need a therapist. It's not what we're saying. Life has difficulties. Living with myself, me living with myself has difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
And living with other people has difficulties. But I'm talking about when it becomes unmanageable.
And a lot of times I would think that some of the other previous 13 issues may result in making the relationship negative.
Excellent point. It yeah. can go either way.
Uh-huh.
This is unmanageable, so I'm using substances.
Uh-huh.
Or I'm using substances, and now that's interfering in my marriage because I'm using up all the money to buy the drugs.
A significant financial distress is causing problems in my relationship. My everyday life seems overwhelming. Nothing specific is exciting me. That might be causing relationship problems in my relationship.
Exactly.
And it could work in reverse. The relationship problem is causing me to use substances that I shouldn't be using. So they're kind of goes back and forth.
It can go back. And usually, especially with substances, it's never alone.
Mm-hmm.
For the person who's using the substances, and I'm borrowing from the next one, but that's okay. For the person who's using the substance is not the problem, it's the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we have to understand when we're dealing with people who overuse or abuse alcohol or drugs. To them, it's not the problem, it's the solution, because when I'm drunk or high, I finally get away from my problem.
So 15 would be the substance becomes the solution.
Yeah. Your habits and addictions have produced a destructive lifestyle. But I wanted to go back to 14.
Okay, I'm sorry.
About the relationships and give you some examples.
We'll do that right after we take this break. Dede Hansen of The Growing Place discussing with us for the last few Wednesdays on some of the warning signs of when you or a family member or your entire family might want to go see a family therapist. Gidi, and there's a whole stable full of therapists and registered interns and life coaches over at The Growing Place, faith-based organization. They're located on East Avenue, and if you ever want to make an appointment or ask some questions, free consultation, 588-0448. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
And this spoke, not necessarily free consultation at The Growing Place in the last segment, but it might be, depends. 588-0448. speaking with Gidi Hansen, The Growing Place, on warning signs of when you should see a therapist. We left off with...
Relationships in your marriage or family have become unmanageable. Mm-hmm. I want to give some examples. Like, let's say Joe and Susie have a 13-year-old daughter who is just suddenly acting out, that she's become uncontrollable, she's breaking all the rules, she's truant at school, her grades have dropped, they've tried everything they know how to do to get a handle on this, and they can't. So they bring in their daughter for counseling. Mm-hmm. Or let's say a marriage has been going along and things have been going okay, and then the wife discovers that her husband has been addicted to pornography for the entire length of their marriage. Mm-hmm. And she can't process it, and he doesn't know what to do, and he's so ashamed he can't even look himself in the eye. So might be time to see a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
There may be sibling problems, sibling to sibling. One sibling is bullying another sibling,
mm-hmm.
and it's time to see a therapist. Or the youngest child in the family is getting bullied at school. Bullying is a big issue right now.
Mm-hmm.
Predatory behavior of one family member on another family member, or one family member is always excluded and left out, or is the Cinderella or the Cinderfella, as I like to say, based mm-hmm. on that old Jerry Lewis movie, Cinderfella. I don't know mm-hmm. if you remember that. So one person is the designated servant, maid, problem, whatever, and that would be a time for family therapy.
Okay.
So grades are falling at school. You find a big cache of marijuana in your 14-year-old's closet.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing seems to be working. These are examples of when it might be time to see a therapist.
Okay. All right. Next topic?
Yes. And then that's when our habits and addictions have produced a destructive lifestyle.
Okay.
And this is different from the previous one, of misusing people, activities, or substances to solve your problems, because now this thing has become a lifestyle and it's taken over your life.
I see.
People don't become addicted to substances or alcohol overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a repetitive action that ultimately results in dependency, withdrawal symptoms, and cravings. And that's when you know you've hit the addiction level.
Mm-hmm.
And very often people cannot on their own come down off of a drug or alcohol. When they reach the level where they are dependent on it to function, they experience intense cravings if they don't have it. And if they stop using, they have intense withdrawal symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Then very often it's a good idea to see a professional, even if you are going to AA, and you do have your support group, or NA, Narcotics Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous, which I highly recommend. Even if you are doing that, a therapist can help you find out what made that substance or alcohol the answer to your problem.
Okay.
What is the real problem?
Mm-hmm.
The real problem may be incest. I grew up with a father who raped me all the time,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just trying to forget about that. The real problem may be poverty, you know, and I read about these cases where I grew up in such extreme poverty that I have flashbacks of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was abandoned by my father. My mom lived on welfare, and she was drunk all the time. You know, now when life is overwhelming, I reach for the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many reasons why people initially believe that the alcohol or the substance is going to be the answer to their problem.
Well, we have gone through 15 of the 21 warning signs of when you might want to consider seeing a therapist. I will probably continue that over the next couple of days, but I want to take the end of this show just to talk about, maybe you could tell me, what are some, when you, clients that you have and that The Growing Place has, what are the biggest, what are the ones that people come in most for, which of the 15 that we've seen?
It's interesting you should ask that. We have noticed among ourselves that we tend to get a certain type of case. Like there's one person who most of their clients have bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
There's another person where most of their clients have depression or anxiety. What I've discovered is that a person can learn to specialize in something because that is what most of their clients are dealing with. Okay. And so in order to serve them better, you do more research, you dig deeper, and you want to help them. For instance, childhood sexual abuse is an area that I'm beginning as an intern to go deeper into. Mm-hmm. PTSD is an area, trauma, childhood trauma especially, as well as adult trauma, is an area I'm tending to go deeper into, even though I cannot call myself a specialist. I'm not even licensed. But already I'm seeing which direction my vocation is taking me.
I guess it's because, you know, it seems hard to believe that there are that many people who have been were sexually abused as a child. Is it more prevalent than I realize?
3 out of 5 women
were incest or just abused by
some
anybody.
Kind of sexual abuse.
Oh, gee.
It's much more prevalent, and I don't know if it's going up or it's just being reported more.
It's sometimes the definition gets looser, and maybe which allows more people to be included in it. Because when you think of abuse, you think of something. Sometimes
to the person, you know, somebody may minimize molestation and say, "Well, nothing really happened." But to a 5-year-old or a 3-year-old, a molestation can ruin their safety. For one molestation can ruin their safety for the rest of their lives.
See, I don't want to minimize anything. That's not what I'm trying to do here. Please understand.
Oh, I understand that. I understand.
I mean, let's say there's a 7-year-old girl and father pats her on the butt and says, "Good job." Pats her on the rear and says, "Good job. Way to go. Nice hit." And she looks at that years later and says, "Oh, well, that was some sort of abuse," when maybe that wasn't at all what the intent was. Whereas opposed to somebody, a girl who was really... We're running out of time.
Yeah, that's the type of cases where you need to see a therapist. And even the one who thinks she's been abused is having some kind of problem in her distorted cognition, distorted thinking.
Interesting. But I can't wait to continue talking this with you again next Wednesday on this. Gidi Hansen, The Growing Place. Thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you, Jerry.
Gidi Hansen, The Growing Place. We're discussing when you should see a therapist, 21 warning signs. We've got about 5 more to go. We're going to continue it next Wednesday. And again, if you want to contact The Growing Place, give them a call, 588-0448. Thanks, everybody. So long.